Hey investors, welcome back to another episode of Passive Real Estate Strategies. In today's episode, we'll be talking about three key traits of a good deal. And as a bonus, we'll talk about a metric that we don't look at as much that many operators push on their investor decks when evaluating a deal as a passive investor. Let's get into the episode after a brief intro. This is the Passive Real Estate Strategies Podcast, where we educate career-driven individuals who have tapped out their earning potential, learn about passive real estate investing so you can continue building your wealth without compromising your time or taking on more responsibilities. I'm your host and managing partner at Realm Investors, a multifamily syndication group who has helped multiply millions of dollars for our passive investors. Thanks for tuning in and let's get on with the show. All right, let's jump right in. So now there are tons of traits and qualities to look for in deals, in markets, in operators. But in today's episode, we'll just be talking about the deal itself and cover those other topics on future episodes. So the three key things we look at in a deal is the first is the rental comp delta. Now in syndications, there's typically a value add strategy where we look to purchase a property and renovate units or renovate the exterior of the building to push rents to achieve these incredible returns. So we need to see a significant delta in the market rents, the comparable rents, and the property's rents. Now generally, the larger the delta, the more excited we are about the property because it means there's more upside for us to capture. But keep in mind that larger deltas can also typically mean a heavier lift with potentially a larger renovation being needed. So make sure the underwriting accounts for the time needed to renovate and knowing exactly what the renovation strategy is. Once we understand what the rental delta is, we want to understand how much per door we are needing to invest to capture that delta. Now, we don't really use rules of thumb here, but say, for example, we see a $30 or $40 rental delta in the market rents versus the rents the property is getting. But to achieve those rental deltas, we have to invest $15,000 per door into the property. We may not see enough upside to justify that type of per door investment. So understand how much per door the renovation is for the amount of upside that you're able to capture in rents. Now, the second thing we look for is our cash on cash at year one and at stabilization into our pro formas. Now, depending on your investment style, you may not mind not having any cash flow year one. This is really popular with new construction or with very heavy value adds where a majority or all of the returns are realized once the property is fixed up and sold or refinanced. But for us, we like to see some cash flow for our syndications. We typically look for at least a 5% cash on cash return once the property is stabilized in a conservative pro forma. And this percentage should, of course, increase year after year. Now, be careful looking at just that first year of stabilization, though, because some loans, especially with these value add strategies, have some interest only periods. So your cash return might look high those first few years, but once that interest-only period expires and the principal starts getting paid down, it can really wipe out a lot of that cash return. Now, the third thing we look for in a good deal is if the value add strategy is proven or unproven. Now, you'll hear the term proven value add or proven value add strategies throughout your time as an investor in the space. And typically what that means is that current ownership has renovated a few of the units and is now achieving certain rents there that we might call our pro forma rents. So the assumption is that you can continue with that renovation strategy and apply the same rental rate to all of the units. Now we do like to look at the rent roll to see if this story is really true. Analyzing the most recent rents of the property and seeing what they've achieved and seeing if we notice any trends. Have they consistently gone up? Do they seem spotty where some are really high and some are really low? Are renovated units not getting as much as classic units or maybe just a little bit more? And as a bonus, you should also look at their current listings on popular websites like apartments.com or Zillow Rentals to see if they have any rental concessions they're promoting. Now, this is a common tactic used by owners to make their property look like rent are being pushed, but in reality, they could be giving away large concessions to bolster their rent roll. Now, another consideration is how many units are achieving that proven upside rent. Now, we've had properties in the past that we've owned that have gotten one or two units to achieve very high rents, but we couldn't get consistent traffic at those prices, so we ended up dropping them back down. But an amateur investor could see those one or two extremely high rents and call that a proven strategy and apply those rents throughout the entire building. Now, that would be a huge mistake because we've seen ourselves where we've only been able to replicate those high rents only a few times and we can't quite fill the building at those rates. So to recap, the three things we look for is the rental comp delta, the cash on cash at stabilization, and the proven or unproven value add potential of the property. Now, here's something we don't look for as much, and you'll see this often in investor presentations. Now, that thing is sales comps for us. Now, I know it seems like a no-brainer to look at sales comps, and while it might be good info, I just don't see that impacting our decisions as much as the three items we discussed here. When it comes time to sell or buy, every property has a different story that comps just can't tell. Our current market right now here in Q4 of 2022 is a great example of how sales comps can totally derail your investment. What were interest rates when these properties were sold? Who was the buyer? Were they an educated buyer? Or did they just blatantly overpay for a property, which we're seeing over the past year and a half or 2 years in this industry? Was there large 1031 money being used to purchase that property, so the returns were not even as important to the purchaser as much as avoiding a huge tax bill? We've had properties be sold in 2022 or that we've lost bids on where the purchaser clearly was underwriting the properties extraordinarily aggressively to achieve the purchase price they were looking at. The fact that somebody else overpaid for a property does not impact my decision to go forward with an investment. This also happens a lot when markets just get flooded with operators who are comfortable overpaying for properties just to get in the game. We saw this a lot after COVID, when COVID really proved how resilient apartments are to recessions. Now, at the end of the day, I'm more concerned with the operations of our properties that we're investing in as opposed to what other operators have done with properties that might be in our markets. So I hope you found this episode valuable. If you want to learn more about passive investing into real estate, head to our show notes and download our free ebook, The Definitive Guide to Passive Real Estate Strategies. See you on the next episode. Well, that's it for today's show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And if you're looking to learn more about passive real estate investments, make sure you head to our show notes and download our free ebook, The Definitive Guide to Passive Real Estate Strategies, where we reveal the ins and outs of the truly passive ways to invest in real estate. We'll see you on the next episode.